radio program. Here we are in the month of June already, and don't blink. Time will be flying by before you know it. And I just want to thank you for investing your time now so that you will reap the rewards of that at a later time. So I was having a conversation with one of my friends the other day, and it dawned on me, you know, just how quickly time is flying by. And so I want to encourage you, don't just spend your time, invest your time, and make sure that what you're doing today is going to create a godly or pleasant memory for you in the future, not a memory that you're going to have to regret and repent over. So that's my word of wisdom for the day there. We're going to go to the book of Jeremiah today. The book of Jeremiah, we're going to be in the 15th chapter, and we're going to start reading in verse number 15. We'll read all the way to the end of the chapter. We're going to focus more on the latter part. I just share the first part of it for context for you. And today I'm going to take just a little bit of a different approach, because most of the time when we are praying, deliver us from evil, we're asking God to deliver us from temptation, from sin, you know, from all of that sort of stuff. But today we're going to focus on the fact that God will deliver us from the ramifications of doing the right thing. When you and I take a stand for righteousness, then we are going to find that there are a lot of people who do not like that. So I was reminiscing here just before we came on the radio here that about a missions trip that I took with Bishop Merton Clark down in Palm Bay, Truth Revealed Ministries, and we were there ministering the love of Jesus, and all of a sudden we found ourselves in a very precarious situation. And as a result of that, we needed God to deliver us. We were there to show the love of Jesus. We were there to pray and see miracles. And the amazing thing was that even though this crowd of people surrounded us and started unsheathing machetes and picking up stones and all of that sort of stuff, that all of a sudden, the crowd parted like the Red Sea, and we walked right through them. Just like it talks about Jesus, they took Jesus to the edge of a cliff, and they were going to throw him off the edge of a cliff, and they parted, and Jesus walked through their midst. And that missions trip that we took, the really miraculous thing was about 2 hours later, we were back within probably 100 to 200 yards of the same spot we were there before, and we were distributing food to people who needed food. And it really reinforced to me the concept that God is not only going to deliver us from doing the wrong thing, but he will deliver us from the negative ramifications that the devil would want to bring our way because we did the right thing. So I want to encourage you today, do the right thing and do not be afraid. I believe that the message, do not be afraid, has more relevance right now in 2020 than it ever has in the past. I have never seen such an all-out assault upon people around the globe to try and instill in them a fear. If I'm just not going to live in fear. I have a love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not going to live in fear of what the devil could do to my body. I'm just not going to be there. And that doesn't mean I'm going to be stupid. I'm going to operate in wisdom, but I'm certainly not going to be paralyzed by the fear, the terror that the devil would want to bring our way. So Jeremiah 15:15 says this, "O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In your enduring patience, do not take me away. Know that for your sake I have suffered rebuke. Your words were found and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I did not sit in the assembly of the mockers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because of your hand, for you have filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Will you surely be to me like an unreliable strain, as waters that fail? Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, then I will bring you back. You shall stand before me. If you take out the precious from the vial, you shall be as my mouth. Let them return to you, but you must not return to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified bronze wall, and they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you from the grip of the terrible." So Jeremiah, as a prophet, was constantly calling people back into relationship with God. He was encouraging people to believe and obey what God told them to do, even when that commandment, that directive from the Lord, seemed to be contradictory to what their common sense was telling them. Jeremiah would say, you've got to do this. If you obey what God says, you are going to be okay. But if you do not obey what God says, even though you have initial success at the beginning, it will not go well for you in the end. And so one of the times that Jeremiah did that, they didn't like what he had to say, and so they took him and they threw him down into a pit. I wish that I could tell you that doing the right thing was always going to make people your best friend and they want to hear from you, but that just is not the case. If you've got a society like we have now that is following deceiving spirits, truth is going to be offensive. If you've got people who are willfully blinded, light is going to be offensive. And when you have got people running headlong into destruction, and we are trying to prevent people from being destroyed, then they're not going to like that we are going against the flow. Okay? I am not a contrarian to be a contrarian, but I am here to summon people back into a relationship with God. And so we can't stop declaring the truth just because there may be some negative consequences. The reason that we know about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is because they refused to bow their knee. They said, you know, we're not here to cause problems, but we can't do that. And it enraged Nebuchadnezzar. So doing the right thing is never going to go out of style in the household of faith. Jeremiah, as he's lamenting his problems in seeing success with his ministry among God's people, he says, "Oh Lord, you know. Oh Lord, you know." And that is a very true statement. Peter had a statement and he said, "Not so, Lord." He put himself in a position where he was telling God yes or no to whether or not God was going to be able to do something, whether Jesus was going to be able to do something. And us speaking authoritatively instead of humbly to God is a paradoxical statement. It's incongruous. The two things don't go together. But when we cry out and we say, "Oh Lord, you know," there is a very impactful truth in that statement. God is fully aware. He is fully aware of what you have been going through. He is fully aware of the process that will bring you out of those things. He is fully aware of the thoughts that you think and the intentions that you have in your heart. He knows with intricate detail the words that you speak, the problems that you face. He knows all about the secrets that no one else knows. He knows what the future holds for you. He knows what his plans, his purposes are for you. He knows what the devil wants to do to you, and he knows what he's not going to allow the devil to do. God knows. He knows you. And he says, remember me and visit me. Remember me and visit me. One of the most difficult aspects of the viral lockdown that has been in place is that there are people in rehab centers who cannot have visitors or were not allowed to have visitors during that entire length of time. Well, I will tell you, that probably saved a lot of lives. But it is very, very difficult. We were never called to be loners. We were never called to be the Lone Ranger. We were never called to live in isolation. We were created to be part of community. It is just the reality. It's the way that you were made. You were made to have fellowship with God. You were made to have fellowship with other people. And anytime that is disrupted, it is very difficult. John knew this all too well. John the Revelator, the one who wrote the book of Revelation, they put him on the Isle of Patmos all by himself, and they gave him one responsibility: die. Just curl up and die until Jesus visited him and gave him a message that is still resonating and intriguing the people of God all of this time. Do you realize that the things that we've been going through on a global scale are minuscule compared to some of the things that are going to take place whenever the wrath of God is poured out? Oh God, you know. Would you remember me and would you visit me? And I will tell you that when you are cut off from any human contact, you are still not cut off from being able to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He will visit you. He will visit you in your home. He will visit you in your hospital room, of a prison cell, a jail cell, wherever it may be. If you're driving down the road and you're all alone, he will make that journey with you in the car. God does not intend to ever leave you. He will never forsake you. He sent the Holy Spirit to be your constant companion. God, the Holy Spirit, is there with you in whatever you are going through. Make sure that you do not compel God to be a silent bystander. Allow God to be the principal source of wisdom and action in your life during that time. God, what do you have to say about this? So I was having a conversation with someone here recently, and they had had a situation forced upon them, and they needed to hear from God. Okay, God, how do you want me to handle this? How do you want me to handle this? And so they made a way to go and spend some time with God. And when they came back and says, this is the strategy that God has given to me. That's 2020, folks. That's 2020. God is not retired. God has not experienced laryngitis. He is not away on vacation. He is not distracted. He still wants to know what's going on. He remembers you, and he will visit you. He goes on and says in verse number 15, in your enduring patience, do not take me away. In your enduring patience, do not take me away. I don't remember where it was that I was listening to this, but a person had talked, and they found themselves in a, it might have been Robert Morris that was talking about it, and they went away and they were praying, and this would have been early in their Christian walk, and they went away and prayed, and I mean they had prayed for every person that they knew, every need that they were aware of. They had praised, they had worshiped, and he looked down at his watch, and it had been 15 minutes. And you know, he was shocked that was all of the time that had gone by, was 15 minutes. And I will tell you that we want things to take place very quickly. I know that one of the things that bewilders me is the delay in the timing of God, and where other people get to experience things on a very rapid scale. Here's what I've learned. I learned from the scriptures that God does not always do math the way that we do math. That's how come the principle of tithing is so important. If you honor God, which the tithe belongs to him, that's the Bible, that's not Bob, the tithe belongs to him, and it's not just any tenth, it's the first tenth, it is holy unto the Lord. That's why whenever you operate with tithing in your life, that God makes 90% go farther than 100% did. I can't explain it. No mathematician can figure it out. But I can tell you that I've experienced it personally. I experienced it at Merit Assembly of God. And, you know, it's because God doesn't do math the same way that we do math. And I will also tell you this. His timing in Scripture does not flow the same way that our time does. There are a few times in the Scripture where God says that it is going to happen in this time frame, whether it's a year or a day or whatever, and he specifically says, as a man would count, as you would experience time. You see, God lives beyond the scope of time. He lives in eternity. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same past, present, and future. To him, it is this constant reality. He's in all of those places. But we only have the here and the now. And so that's where we experience. And because we do not have the perspective that God has, we do not understand all of. Do you realize that God has billions of moving parts that are going on right now? There are people who are getting ready to enter eternity. There are some babies, and there's going to be a lot of them, that are being formed in the mother's womb during this quarantine virus. There is going to be a whole wave of babies being born around September or around December. I've already received notifications from numerous friends that hey, guess what's coming about December? A new grandchild. And so We get into this situation of time and we say we need it to happen right now. And Jeremiah cries out to God and he says, in your enduring patience. God's patience is tremendous. We want people brought to justice right now. We want the problem solved right now. If it's not happening according to our time frame, boy, are we going to let somebody have it we want right now. But do you realize that God, in all of those billions of people that are on the planet, he doesn't want a single one of them to be saved. And so he is operating his timeline with an enduring patience knowing that against the fruit of the Spirit, there is no law that is going to ever be able to prevent the fruit of the Spirit from manifesting in God's people. And the fruit of the Spirit is always going to be irresistible. I've never had this thought here before, but wouldn't it be great if the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ would abide in him to such an extent that we would manifest the fruit of the Spirit, and it would be more enticing to unbelievers than the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was found irresistible by Eve and then Adam? I didn't have that in my notes. That's just a brand new thought there. There is no law that is going to prevent that, and love is always going to shine through. The scriptures, well, not the scriptures, but church history is filled with people who persecuted and even martyred believers for their faith, and upon their death, they recognized that those people that they had just killed had something real in their life that the executioners did not have, and the executioners picked up the faith that they had just tried to execute and went on and became believers themselves. Because against the fruit of the Spirit, there is no law. God's enduring patience is so that people will come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jeremiah here says in this passage, in your enduring patience, do not take me away. Don't wipe me out. I haven't seen the results that I want yet. The people are still fighting against me, but I don't want you to take me out of the fight. I want you to endure and be patient with me and give me the ability to endure and persevere along with you. See, there are some people who are constantly in their position of waiting. They're constantly looking at their watch, and they're tapping on the screen, and they're gripping the steering wheel, and they're fidgeting in their car. They're looking to the right and to the left. When is this going to end? And in the meantime, there may be a person that they're sitting next to, and the thing that they are thinking is, I am so glad that I'm getting to spend this time together with you. What are we doing? We're spending time together. And, you know, I don't know too many people. There were some that ended up having extra time on their hands, but most of the people that I know stayed very busy during this season. But if you were one of them that was sidelined from your work for a while, I pray that you got to spend some quality time, not just with your family, but with Jesus. God, in your enduring patience, do not take me away. Know that for your sake I have suffered rebuke. Listen to verse number 16. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. So as I was preparing for this radio program, I actually made a note in my phone about the attitude that we have towards the word of God. Jeremiah, I believe it was the one that said that the word of God was like fire shut up in his bones. Here, he says, when I found your words, I ate them. I read them. I let them penetrate to the very core of my being. I let the nutrition of your word impart life to my body, my soul, and my spirit. I consumed them. They strengthened me. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. We're just a few days away. In fact, this coming Sunday, we're going to be celebrating Merit Assembly of God's 68th anniversary at the church. And I pray that as you are preparing for church, that you've already got your preparation on. You are ready to feast on the Word of God. And you know that the Word of God is going to bring joy, that you don't have to go to church. You get to go to church. Do you realize that this shutdown has created in a lot of people an appreciation for the saints and the household of faith that they never had before? You don't really appreciate something many times until it is gone, till you can't do what you want to do anymore. And then you say, boy, I really missed that. Unfortunately, at that point in time, many times, it's too late to do anything about it. But with the Word of God, you can start today and say, God, I pray that you would give me a jubilant attitude towards your Word. God, I pray that you would cause my heart to rejoice at the sound of your voice. And when you say yes, I rejoice. When you say no, I rejoice. When you say come, I rejoice. And when you say go into all the world and proclaim the gospel and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, when you say go and we're going to heal the sick and proclaim the gospel, I rejoice at that as well. I pray today that you would find that you are on your life journey, not alone, but you are on it with God, that it is a journey where God knows everything that is going on and that he is working in you. He's creating patience in you, and he's creating joy in us that is going to make us distinct. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but call my name and I